This year was originally given on the second night of Sukkot, Tovshin Ayin Zayin, in Congregation Or Torah, Edison, New Jersey. It's now being repeated on the first day of Chol Hamoed Sukkot, Tovshin Ayin Zayin. This year is in honor of the Yahrzeit of Aharon Shmuel Zanvon ben Yosef Meir, Zichron Levracha, Mr. Samuel Strouch, whose Yahrzeit is the second day of Sukkot. The Torah in two places in Sefer Devarim tells us about the mitzvah, or really the Isser, of Baal Tosef. In Parshas V'yaschanan, it says, "Lo sosifu al hadavar v'lo sigru mimenu." You're not allowed to add onto the Torah or subtract from it. And in Parshas Re'eh, "Lo sosifu lav v'lo sigru mimenu." Now, the number of different kinds of Baal Tosef. Rashi and Chumash in both places gives us examples of Baal Tosef. So, for example, the Torah tells us to wear tefillin with four parshios. If someone wears tefillin with five parshios, that will be a problem of Baal Tosef. It's mitzvah of dalad minim. If a person takes five minim, that will be a problem of Baal Tosef. And the Kohanim have mitzvah to duchen with three brachos, Yivarechecha, Yoyer, and Yisa. If they duchen with four brachos, that will be a problem of Baal Tosef. So this kind of Baal Tosef is adding on to the cheftza of the mitzvah. You're actually adding something to the item of the mitzvah. And the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah discusses Baal Tosef with respect to Birchos Kohanim. And the Ritva says, in order to violate Baal Tosef, the Kohen has to give the additional bracha with his hand sticking out the same way he gives the original three brachos. So the Bir Halacha, the Mishnah Berurah, says, obviously the Ritva holds, in order to violate Baal Tosef, the addition must be done with the same halachic details as the mitzvah itself. So therefore, since Birchas Kohanim must be done with the Kohen's hand sticking out, so in order to violate Baal Tosef, it has to be done with the hand sticking out. This would apply to all the halachas of Birchas Kohanim. So therefore, for example, the Kohanim have, and the people have to face each other during Birchas Kohanim. So in order to violate Baal, that's Panim connected Panim. So in order to violate Baal Tosef, the Kohanim will have to be facing the people. Based on this, we can understand the Gemara in Sota, which is also the Minhag HaOlam. The Gemara says, after the Kohanim duchen, they turn around and they say, Tefila, Ribon Sh'olam Asinu Masha Gazarto Leinu, Hashkifu Mimon Kachecha. The question is, how can they do this? Why is it not a problem of Baal Tosef? So the Shulchan Aruch Rav, the Baal HaTanya, says, based on the Ritva, it's not a problem, because since the Kohanim have already put their hands down and turned around, therefore there's no problem of Baal Tosef. And the Rambam seems to disagree. The Rambam in Hilchos Nesis Kapayim first gives us all the details of Birchos Kohanim, and he says you have to have your hands sticking out, and you have to be facing the people, and you have to be standing, and it has to be done b'kol rom, in a loud voice. If the Kohanim duchen b'lechash, that's no good. But then when the Rambam discusses Baal Tosef, he says the Kohen violates Baal Tosef whether he gives the extra bracha b'kol rom or b'lachash. So the question is, why is he violating Baal Tosef if he gives it b'lachash, but not yotzei duchening if it's done b'lachash? So the Berlacha says, obviously the Rambam disagrees with the Ritva, and the Rambam holds that in order to violate Baal Tosef, you don't need all the details of the mitzvah itself. So therefore, it wouldn't be limited to b'lachash. If the Kohanim put their hands down or turned around, they also could still violate Baal Tosef. If that's the case, so how does the Gemara say that the Kohanim give the bracha, Ribono Shel Olam? Why is it not a problem of Baal Tosef? So if Tzvi Pesach Frank in the Har Tzvi says he doesn't think it's a problem, because this is not really a bracha. Rather, it's a tefillah, it's a bakasha. The Kohanim are asking Hashem to please accept the three brachas that you gave originally. But what might be a problem, he says, is we know after the Kohanim come down, everyone says Yashar Koach, and the Kohanim say Baruch Tiyah, Bruchim Tiyu, because that would be a problem of Baal Tosef, because here they're actually giving a bracha. The Sefer called the Avnei Choshen, who says he thinks that same Bruchim Tiyu is not a problem either, and he gives a whole list of reasons why not. First of all, he says, similar to what Tzvi Pesach Frank said about the Ribono Shel Olam Tefillah, when the Kohanim saying Bruchim Tiyu, they're not really giving a new bracha to the people. Rather, what they're saying is you should be blessed with the three brachas we gave you just before. Second of all, that the Kohanim usually say Bruchim Tiyu after they've already come down from the Duchen. So if that's the case, it's not really even really connected to the Duchening from before at all. Number three, the Mishnah Megillah says that Birchos Kohanim requires a minyan. So he says, you see from there, by definition, Birchos Kohanim means to Kohanim give a bracha to a tzibur, not to a yachid. So when they say Bruchim Tiyu, they're not saying it to the entire tzibur, they're saying it to the yachid, to the guy who says Yashar Koach. And finally he says, that Kuvi the Rambam doesn't even disagree with the Ritva in the first place. Rather, the Rambam holds, in order to violate Baal Tosef, it has to seem that the addition is connected to the actual mitzvah itself. But if it's clear that the addition is not connected to the mitzvah, then even the Rambam would agree there's no problem of Baal Tosef. So therefore, if the Kohen gives the three brachas b'kol rom, and the addition of b'lachash, so it's true that you're not yotzei duchening if it's done b'lachash. But since it's not so clear that it's not connected, it's a little bit louder, this is a little bit softer, so in that case, the Rambam would hold you violate Baal Tosef. But if the Kohanim put their hands down, or they turned around, so it's clearly not connected to the duchening, to the actual three brachas of duchening, and therefore there'd be no problem of Baal Tosef. Another kind of Baal Tosif is when you add to the Zman of the mitzvah. The Mishnah, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah and Erevin says, if a person eats in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, he violates Baal Tosif. Because the mitzvah is to sit in Sukkah for 7 days, so he sat on an eighth day, therefore he violates Baal Tosif. So this makes good sense in Eretz Yisrael. What about sitting in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres in Chutz Laretz? So the Gemara in Sukkah discusses sitting in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres in Chutz Laretz. The Gemara says there are three shitos. Either you sit in Sukkah with a bracha, or you sit in Sukkah without a bracha, or you don't sit in Sukkah at all. And the Gemara comes to the maskana, Mesev Yasminan, Baruchei Lo Mevarchinan. You're supposed to sit in Sukkah, but you don't make the bracha, Leishev Basukkah. So the question is, how do you sit in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres? Why is it not a problem of Baal Tosif? So the Mordechai quotes the Rav Yehu, says that from the very fact that all 7 days you make a bracha, and Shmini Atzeres you don't make a bracha, that itself serves to differentiate between the Sukkah of Sukkahs and Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So there's no problem with Baal Tosif. However, when it comes to sleeping in the Sukkah, since you never make a bracha on sleeping in the Sukkah, even during Sukkahs itself, so if you sleep with Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, that would be a problem of Baal Tosif. Therefore, he holds you shouldn't sleep in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. The Gra argues, the Gra holds you're supposed to sleep in Sukkah even on Shmini Atzeres. Now, the Torah quotes another minhag. The Torah says there are some people who eat in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres by day, but not at night. Now, the Torah himself does not like that minhag, but the Magen Avraham says the basis for this minhag is to avoid the problem of Baal Tosif. Because Baal Tosif is only if the addition is connected to the mitzvah itself. If a person sits in Sukkah in January, that's not a problem of Baal Tosif. It's totally unrelated to the mitzvah of Sukkah. So if a person sits in Sukkah all 7 days, the night of Shmini Atzeres, he doesn't eat in Sukkah, so that breaks the continuity of the mitzvah. And now on Shmini Atzeres day, he eats in Sukkah, and it's not a problem of Baal Tosif. What about those people who don't eat in Sukkah at all in Shmini Atzeres? What's that based on? So the Aruch HaShulchan says it's based on Tosfos. Tosfos Nakamara asks, if we're supposed to sit in Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres because of a Sfeika D'Yoma, so why don't we have to take a Lulav and Shmini Atzeres because of the Sfeika D'Yoma? The Rani answers, well, Sukkah is Minat Torah, and Lulav after the first day is only Midrabanon, so the Chamamor Machmir and Shmini Atzeres to take a Lulav. But Tosfos says there's a big difference between Lulav and Sukkah. The person picks up a Lulav, so it's clear he's doing it for the mitzvah. There's no other reason why a person would pick up a Lulav. So therefore, if a person would take Lulav and Shmini Atzeres, basically what he's saying is that he's afraid today is the seventh day of Sukkot, and therefore he's taking a lulav. Now the seventh day of Sukkot is Chol, it's Chol HaMoed. So by taking a lulav on Shmini Atzeres, that will be a bizoyin to the yontif of Shmini Atzeres. Sukkah, on the other hand, it's not so obvious when he sits in the Sukkah that he's doing it for the mitzvah. I mean, that is what his intention is. But it's not so clear that that's what he's doing. Some people like to eat outside, even not for the mitzvah. So therefore, since it's not so obvious he's doing it for the mitzvah, there would not be a bizoyin to the yontif of Shmini Atzeres. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, so that makes sense. If you live in a country with a warm climate, like Bavel, that's what he says. So then people eat in the Sukkah, even when it's not for the mitzvah. But if you live in our countries in the north, where it could be freezing cold on Shmini Atzeres, then no one in the right mind is going to be sitting in Sukkah unless they're doing it for the mitzvah. So therefore, Sukkah becomes the same as Lulav. And just like there's no Lulav on Shmini Atzeres, you don't sit in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres either. This Fas Emes has a whole different shot in the Gemara altogether. He says, when the Gemara says, Mesev Yasvinon, the Gemara was never commanding us to sit in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Rather, the Gemara just meant that if you want to sit in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, you can, and there's no problem with Baal Tosif. But the Gemara was never obligating you to sit in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, and the proof is from the fact that you don't make a bracha. If there really would be an obligation to sit in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, you should make a bracha as well. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, we know that women are not obligated in the mitzvah of shofar. It's mitzvah sasei shazman grama. But can a woman blow for herself or for another woman? Now, she certainly can't blow for a man. But can a woman blow for herself or for another woman? So the Gemara says in the machlokas tanoim whether a woman can blow for herself or not. Then the Gemara says the same machlokas would apply to whether a woman could do smicha. This has nothing to do with women rabbis. Rather, when you bring a carbon, in certain cases, the owner has to do smicha, has to lean on top of the animal. And the Gemara says smicha only applies to men, not to women, because smicha is also a mitzvah aseh shazman grama, it's only by day and not by night. Can a woman volunteer to do smicha? So the Gemara says the same machlokas that applies to shofar applies to smicha as well. Now the Marsha says the machlokas is only in these two specific cases, shofar and smicha. In all other mitzvahs aseh shazman grama, like lulav, everyone would agree there's nothing wrong with the woman volunteering to do the mitzvah. So why are these two cases different? So the Marsha explains, in a normal case, if a woman wants to volunteer to do a mitzvah, so you have nothing to lose and everything to gain, okay, so why not? But in these two cases of shofar and smicha, you actually have something to lose. You could potentially violate an aveira. When it comes to smicha, so normally if you have an animal which is a carbon, which is hektish, so you're not allowed to do any work on that animal. That's avodah b'kachim. So a man who has a mitzvah to do smicha, okay, so he does smicha. A woman who has no mitzvah to do smicha, so for her, is an isra of avodah b'kachim. Similarly, when it comes to shofar, on regular Shabbos and Yontif, you're not allowed to blow shofar. It's an Isser Drabbanon of Mashmiya Kol. So a man on Rosh Hashanah has a mitzvah to blow shofar, he blows shofar. A woman who has no mitzvah to blow shofar, for her, it's an Isser Drabbanon of Mashmiya Kol. But all other mitzvahs, as Seish has non gromas, where there's no Isser involved, there's nothing wrong with a woman volunteering. Rashi did not learn like that. Rashi says that shofar and smicha are only examples. But according to that shita, a woman cannot volunteer to do any mitzvah sasei shezman grama. Why not? Because it's Baal Tosif. She's not obligated to the mitzvah, she's doing it anyway. That's a problem of Baal Tosif. The Sefer HaMachria says, he doesn't think a woman volunteering to do a mitzvah would be necessarily Baal Tosif, but if she makes a bracha, and she says v'tzivanu, when she's not really commanded, so that would be a problem of Baal Tosif, and the bracha of Atala to boot. Now, based on this, the Shachas Ari wants to come up with the following chumrah. The Gemara in Beitza says, we know that Yontif is the heter of Ochol Nefesh, and the Gemara says, according to Beis Hillel, we pass him like Beis Hillel, mitoch shehutru letzorech, hutru nami leshlo letzorech. A malach, which is mutter for Ochol Nefesh, in certain cases is mutter even if it's not done for Ochol Nefesh. So the Gemara gives an example. Hotzah is mutter for Ochol Nefesh, you're allowed to carry your food. But since you're allowed to carry your food, so the Gemara says you're allowed to carry your lulav, and your child, and a sefer Torah. But there has to be some tzorech for Yontif. If you're carrying for no reason at all, it's then be also to carry on Yontif, just like it's also to carry on Shabbos. So the Shagas Aryeh says, since a woman is not obligated in lulav, so for her to carry lulav is considered shalol tzorech. Therefore, it would be also for a woman to carry lulav on Yontif. Now, if Moshe Feinstein disagrees, he says we don't hold like that at all. He says, first of all, for a woman to volunteer to do a mitzvah zazei shazman grama is not about tosif. Because not only can a woman volunteer, if she does do the mitzvah, she gets a kiyum. Second of all, at least according to the Ashkenazim, she could even make a bracha. So if Moshe says, he doesn't even call it tzorech, he says it's a tzorech gadol for a woman to carry lulav, and there should be nothing wrong with a woman carrying lulav on Yontif. The Rambam has another kind of Baal Tosif. We know that the Beis Din has the authority and the responsibility to make takanos and gzeros, so people shouldn't violate the Torah. Now, the Rambam says that's only okay if the Chachamim clearly state that what they're doing is midrabanan. If the Chachamim make a din drabanan and claim that it's min haTorah, that'll be a problem of Baal Tosif. That's Baal Tosif b'Hora'ah. And the Rambam gives an example. The Torah says, Lo sevashol gedi b'chalev imo. Literally, you're not allowed to cook a kid in its mother's milk. So the Gemara says, it's not limited to a gedi, it applies to any behema and any chaya, and it's not necessarily its mother's milk, but it's other milk as well. But oaf, chicken and milk, min haTorah is mutter. But the Chachamim said, you're not allowed to eat chicken and milk, because the next thing you know, you'll come to eat meat and milk. So the Rambam says, if the Chachamim say, the min haTorah, chicken and milk is mutter, but we're going to ask for chicken and milk, so you shouldn't come to eat meat and milk. So that's okay. But if the Chachamim say, when the Torah said, Los Vashal Gedi, the Torah itself meant to ask for chicken and milk, so that'll be a problem of Baal Tosif. Similarly, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, we know on Rosh Hashanah is the mitzvah of shofar. How many kolos do you have to hear? So min haTorah, you only have to hear 9 kolos. Tekiya, trua, tekiya, 3 times. Now, the Gemara says, we have a suffix. What exactly is a trua? Is it true what we call trua? Is it true what we call shvarim? Or is it true what we call shvarim trua? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yavo is mesakein. In order to cover all our bases, you have to look all 3 possibilities, tashra, tashat, tarat, 3 times each, and therefore you're definitely riyotze according to all shitos. So that gives us a total of 30 kolos. So now the Gemara asks, Lama tokenu merin kishahen yoshvin, betokenu merin kishahen omdin. If you're yotze with 30 kolos that you blew before Musaf, the tekiyas to miyushav, so why are you blowing more tekiyas now during Shmon Esrei tekiyas to mumad? You already were yotze. The Gemara says, "Ktei la'arbe v'sasaton," and machlok is what exactly that means. But the Chachamim felt it necessary to blow extra kolos. So Tosfos asks, "But why is it not a problem of Baal Tosif? The mitzvah is to hear 9 kolos. Okay, we hear 30 because it's a suffix what the din is. But we blow 100 kolos. So why is it not a problem of Baal Tosif?" So Tosfos says, "Baal Tosif is only if you take an existing mitzvah and add something extraneous to the mitzvah." But to take the mitzvah and to repeat the whole mitzvah, that's not a problem of Baal Tosif. So if someone took a lulav in the morning, took a lulav again in the afternoon, that's not a problem of Baal Tosif. If you're calling duchens and wants to do the whole duchening again, that's not a problem of Baal Tosif. So therefore, you blew 30 kolos, you want to blow more kolos, that's not a problem of Baal Tosif. The Rashba gives a different pshat. The Rashba says, if the chama make a takana for a valid and legitimate reason, so by definition, there's no problem of Baal Tosif. So if the Chachamim felt it was necessary to blow extra kolos, by definition, that's not Baal Tosif. And it brings a raya. We know if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, so min haTorah is supposed to blow shofar. The Chachamim said, don't blow shofar, you're afraid someone's going to carry in Rishus Rabbim. So how could they do that? Well, Baal Tigra. The Torah says to blow shofar, and they tell you not to blow. So that's about, why is it not a problem with Baal Tigra? So the Rashba says, you see from here, that the Chachamim felt it necessary to tell you not to blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, by definition, that's not considered Baal Tigra. So too, when they tell you to blow extra calls on Rosh Hashanah, that's not, by definition, that's not a problem of Baal Tosif. Finally, the Mishnah in Erevin has the following case. A person's walking on Shabbos, and he finds a pair of tefillin in the street. Now, he doesn't want to leave it there. He's afraid it'll get stolen or ruined. But he can't carry it at Shabbos, so what do? So the Mishnah says, no problem. You put the tefillin on, and you wear them inside, then when you get inside, you take them off. And that's not a problem of carrying. That's considered derech malbush. That's the normal way you wear tefillin. Then the Mishnah says, what if you find two pairs of tefillin? So then there's the machlokas. The Tanakhama says, you can only wear one pair of tefillin at a time. Wear one, go inside, and come back, and wear the next one. And the Gamliel says, no, you can wear both pairs of tefillin at the same time. It's also called derech malbush. So what's the machlokas, whether you wear two pairs of tefillin or not? So the Gemara says, it revolves around the issue of Baal Tosif. Is there a problem of Baal Tosif by wearing two pairs of tefillin? So the Gemara says, in order to violate Baal Tosif, the addition has to be done the same way you would be mekayim the mitzvah. In other words, the Gemara says it's a machlokas whether mitzvah is srichas kavana or mitzvah is ain't srichas kavana. Let's say you do a mitzvah the dalad minim. So when you take the dalad minim, do you have to have in mind explicitly that you're doing the mitzvah of dalad minim? And if you're not, you're not yotzei. Or should I say mitzvah is ain't srichas kavana? Person walks into shul sukkos morning with his lulav, so obviously he's doing the mitzvah. He doesn't have to think explicitly he's doing the mitzvah. So the Gemara says, if you hold need kavana in order to fulfill the mitzvah, then you will need kavana to violate Baal Tosif also. You have to have kavana that you're doing this additional thing as part of the mitzvah. But if you hold that in order to fulfill the mitzvah, you don't need kavana, so you won't need kavana to violate Baal Tosif either. So the Gemara says, that's the machlokas. And the Gamliel, who says you can wear two pairs of tefillin, holds mitzvahs, tzrichas kavana. So in order to fulfill the mitzvah, you need kavana. So in order to violate Baal Tosif, you need kavana. In this case, the person has no kavana to do any mitzvah. His kavana is to save the tefillin from being stolen. Since there's no kavana for the mitzvah, there's no mitzvah. If there's no mitzvah, there's no Baal Tosif. No Baal Tosif, the Gamliel says you can wear two pairs of tefillin. The Tanakhama holds mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana. So in order to fulfill mitzvah, you don't need kavana. So in order to violate Baal Tosif, you don't need kavana. So the fact that there's no kavana in the case for the mitzvah is totally relevant. You fulfill the mitzvah anyway. If you fulfill the mitzvah, it's a problem of Baal Tosif. And if a Tanakhama says you have no choice, you can only wear one pair of tefillin at a time. Now, Turi Avin asks a question in this Gemara. We know we all have an issue with the first day of Sukkot. We take our Dalaminim, but the Gemara says that you have to make the bracha, any mitzvah, over last Yasson, before you do the mitzvah. So the question is, what do you do when it comes to lulav? Mida'ag ve'nafik bay, as soon as you pick up the Dalaminim, you don't say. So how do you make the bracha? And to make the bracha before you pick it up, that's too far in advance. So what do? So Tosfos has two possibilities. First of all, I guess this is what most of us do, is that you pick up the Dalaminim with the Esrog upside down. Since you're only Yotzei, Derech Kedilason, so now you're not Yotzei, you make the bracha, and then you turn your Esrog right side up, and then you're Yotzei. The Tosfos has a second possibility. Really, you pick up the Dalaminim with the Esrog right side up, but you have explicit kavana not to be Yotzei. And Tosfos says, that even if you hold mitzvahs, ain't srichas kavana, not just if you walk into shul with your lulav and you don't think anything, but if you have explicit kavana not to be yotzei, so we can't force you to be yotzei, so you're not yotzei. Just parenthetically, the Ritva holds that if you hold mitzvahs, ain't srichas kavana, so even if you have kavana not to be yotzei, it's too bad, you're yotzei anyway. But Tosfos holds that if you have kavana not to be yotzei, you're not yotzei. If that's the case, Turi Avin asks, we said that the Tanakhama holds mitzvahs, ain't srichas kavana. So therefore, there's no kavana for the mitzvah, you don't need kavana for Baal Tosif. Wait a second. Let the guy have kavana not to be yotzei. If he has kavana not to be yotzei, he says no mitzvah. If no mitzvah, there should be no Baal Tosif. And therefore, the Tanakhama should agree. You could have two pairs of tefillin. So the answer to Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in Kovitz Jerum gives the following yisod. Rabbi Chanan says that Turi Avin is making the following assumption. He's assuming that if you hold mitzvahs ain't srichas kavana, and you have kavana not to be yotzei, that is the same thing as holding mitzvah srichas kavana and not having kavana at all. Because after all, in both cases, you're not yotzei. He says this assumption is not correct. There's a very big difference between the two cases. If you hold mitzvah srichas kavana, so that means that kavana is an intrinsic, integral part of the mitzvah. And if you don't have kavana, it's like you didn't do the mitzvah at all. You don't even have a maisa ha-mitzvah. On the other hand, if you hold mitzvahs ain't srichas kavana, so kavana is not an intrinsic part of the mitzvah. Without the kavana, you have a perfectly good ma'is ha-mitzvah. But now you have kavana not to be yotzei. So there's nothing wrong with the ma'is ha-mitzvah. But for technical reasons, you can't be yotzei because we can't force it to be yotzei. But the ma'is ha-mitzvah is still good. And Rabbi Chanan says, when the Gemara says, in order to violate Baal Tosif, it has to be done the same way that you would do the mitzvah, that just means to violate Baal Tosif, you need a ma'is ha-mitzvah. You don't need the kiyum ha-mitzvah. If that's the case, now you understand the Gemara. The Tanakhama holds mitzvahs ain't Shrichas Kavanah. So in this case, there's no Kavanah. I, the Turi Evan, asked, let him have Kavanah not to be Yotzei. Okay, so that just means he won't be Yotzei the mitzvah, but there's still a Maisa mitzvah. If it's still a Maisa mitzvah, there'll still be a problem with Baal Tosef. And if a Tanakhama says you have no choice, you have to only wear one pair of tefillin at a time. Based on this Yisod, Rabbi Chanan wants to answer the following question. The Gemara in Sukkah says, the person sits in a Sukkah Gzula, stolen Sukkah, on Sukkahs, he's not Yotzei the mitzvah. Why not? The Gemara quotes a Pasuk, Chag HaSukkahs Tase Lecha, Lecha L'mute Gzula. So Tosfos asks, what do I need a Pasuk for? Obviously you're not Yotzei the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah Baba Vera. What do I need a Pasuk for? So a number of different answers are given. Rabbi Chanan gives the following answer. Because if all we had was mitzvah baba vera, we didn't have the pasuk. So the person eats in the sukkah gzula. So, I mean, he's still physically eating in the sukkah. You can't tell me he's eating outside the sukkah. Just like for technical reasons, he's not yotzei the mitzvah, because he's doing an avera. But now that we have a pasuk, chag sukkah tase lecha, lemute gzula, so the Torah is telling us that if a person sits in the sukkah gzula, it's like he didn't sit in sukkah at all. It's like he ate in his house. You don't even have a maisa mitzvah. That's what the pasuk adds to mitzvah baba vera. So Rav Chanan says an afkamina would be, let's say a person sits in a sukkah gzula on Shmini Atzeres. Does he violate Baal Tosef? So if he holds sitting in a sukkah gzula, he's still considered he sat in a sukkah. Just that, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. So you have a maisa mitzvah. So therefore, there would be a problem with Baal Tosef. But if he holds sitting in a sukkah gzula, it's like you sat in your house. So you don't even have a maisa mitzvah. There's no maisa mitzvah, you don't have Baal Tosef either. So just to review, you have the Isra of Baal Tosef. We have different kinds of Baal Tosef. Rashi tells us about the Baal Tosef about adding to the mitzvah, adding to the chetza of the mitzvah. We discussed how that affects Baal Tosef by Brachas Kohanim, whether saying Bruchim Tiyu is a problem or not. We have Baal Tosef adding to the Zman of the mitzvah. We discussed the whole issue of eating in Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. We have the Rashi Shita that a woman who volunteers to do a mitzvah sensation on Groma violates Baal Tosef, and the Marsha disagrees. We have the Rambam's Baal Tosef. The Bezin makes a Din Darabon and tries to pass it off as a Din Minat Torah. That's also Baal Tosef. We have the machlokas between Tosfos and the Rajba, why blowing extra kolos on Rosh Hashanah is not a problem about Tosef. And then we have the Gemara in Erevin about the issue of wearing two pairs of tefillin. Well, that's an issue about Tosef. The Gemara relates it to the machlokas of mitzvahs Shrichas Kavana or mitzvahs Ein Shrichas Kavana. And we have the Yisod of Rabbi Chanan, the chilek between the Maisa HaMitzvah and the Kiyam HaMitzvah. A good and Yom Tov.